weren't dismissed already, we're going to dismiss out the back here, so the children go that way.
Good evening. Let's take our Bibles this evening. You've been in James chapter 3. Also put your finger in the book of Proverbs tonight. And the title of our message is The Most Powerful Member of First Baptist Church. Who's the strongest, most powerful member of First Baptist Church? Is it physical strength? Is it Mr. Nichols? He may be physically one of the most physically strong men I've ever met. I've seen him manhandle things with his arms and his hands. But is that the most powerful member of First Baptist Church? Is it Pastor Peterson, who leads the ministry here at First Baptist Church? Is he the most powerful? Is he the strongest member of this church? Is it Pastor Rick, who has us laughing one minute and repenting the next? Is it Pastor Bloom, who carries great influence with our young adults and our teens? Is it Mrs. Shelburne, mighty on the piano? Who's the strongest member of Woodside of First Baptist Church? Is it Brother Galster, who is the chairman of the Board of Deacons? Is he the most powerful man operating a shadow operation behind the scenes? Who is the most powerful member of First Baptist Church? Well, our answer is found in the book of James. And as was read by Brother Rick a little bit earlier, look what it says in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Wow. So the most powerful member of First Baptist Church is within every one of us. It's in our mouth, it's our tongue. That's the most powerful member of First Baptist Church. Now, the book of James, Pastor Rick and I have the responsibility of teaching junior high Bible. I have 33 seventh graders, and he's got two dozen or so probably eighth graders. And they are a wild bunch, let me tell you. but we have the privilege of teaching them Bible. And we've been going through the book of James, and so some of these things have been rolling around in my heart and in my head for days. The book of James, what do you know about James, the author of the book of James? Well, he was the half-brother of our Lord and Savior, and after Mary birthed the Lord Jesus, Mary and Joseph later had other children, and James is one of them. James is also the second cousin to John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Think about that. Can you imagine growing up in the home of Joseph and Mary and the kids are squabbling over something and getting into trouble and no one could ever get away with blaming Jesus for it? They always took his side for some reason. And it's because they knew he was the Savior. They knew he was divine. But can you imagine larger family gatherings with Jesus and John the Baptist at the same family gathering? Wow, powerful stuff. But no one could blame, in the home of Mary and Joseph, no one could blame and get away with blaming big brother Jesus. And Mary and Joseph never bought those claims and accusations. And as we learn this morning from Pastor Peterson, and the text there he had this morning, Jesus was without sin. That's why he never had to take the blame. He was without sin. Now, in the book of James, we can identify mature Christians by their attitude towards suffering. Chapter 1, James talks about that, identifying mature Christians. Chapter 1, their attitudes towards suffering. Chapter 2, you'll know mature Christians at First Baptist Church by their level of obedience to the Word of God. By their level of obedience to the Word of God. Now James tells us in chapter 3 that a Christian's speech is another test of their maturity. We read and hear many words every single day, don't we? And we forget what a wonderful thing speech or a word is. And when God gave us the faculty of speech, he gave us a tool to build with. But it can also, as we see in Scripture, it can become a weapon of destruction. And so, talk some more about James. He was the first pastor of the Church of Jerusalem. James was also eventually killed, as we see in the book of Acts, by the sword. And one of the first martyrs, Stephen was the first martyr, but James. And then, consequently, from the death of James, the church is scattered abroad, the Bible says. And Christians flee to other places. And the Lord Jesus told the disciples to do that. If they persecute you in one city, flee to another. And I think we can learn from that today. In one sense, I feel like I fled Colorado, becoming a deeply blue state with all kinds of shenanigans in the law. Oh, I fled to another. I fled to conservative Florida. But the book of James. Now in chapter 3, so marks of maturity, chapter 1, the Christian's attitude towards suffering, chapter 2, the level of obedience to the Word of God, chapter 3, the test of speech as our maturity. In chapter 3 now, we were there for a few moments, verses 1 and 2, Pastor Rick started with verse 2. Apparently there was this rivalry going on in the Church of Jerusalem over who would teach, who would be the main teacher. And James warns them, let not many of you become masters. Be not many masters, master teachers. The reason, he says, is because those who master teach will be judged more strictly than those who are just listeners. And it's a sad thing when immature Christians try to become teachers before they're ready. Have you ever heard the parable of the peasel tree? The word psaltery in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, for instance, the psaltery. A funny story about an old country preacher who hasn't studied, and he just says, I was going to open my Bible, and wherever my finger lands, that's where I'm going to preach today. And he opens his book of Bible, and he opens his Bible, and he puts his finger in the book of Psalms, and he lands on a word about the peasel tree. And he just makes up this entire story for a sermon about the peasel tree, that it's a tree. Not a psaltery, a musical instrument, but he makes up this grand story about it being a tree. And he incorporates some of Psalm 1, that his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And those who are new to the faith shouldn't be teachers and, you know, preaching sermons about the peasel tree. But sometimes these immature ones, they think they have attained a great place of honor, and they really ask for a more severe judgment from God to be in a place of important place of teaching. James is quick to agree in chapter 3 that all of us stumble in many ways, especially in what we say. Boy, I like the transparency of James there, as Pastor Rick read in verse 2. Look with me there again at James chapter 3 and verse 2. For in many things we offend all. He says we. He didn't say ye. For in many things ye offend all. James includes himself. Aren't you glad for that? In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Wow. So I love James's transparency there. He's quick to agree that all of us stumble in many ways, especially in what we say. In fact, the person who is able to control the tongue proves that he or she has control over their whole body. They're maybe the most disciplined individual in the ministry. Not necessarily those athletes who can dribble behind their back and, you know, between their legs and slam a basketball or shoot three-pointers until the lights are out. You know, no, that's not the most disciplined person. The most disciplined person is the one who knows how to bridle, how to restrict their tongue. And so here in James, in verse 3, he also gives us some insight. He says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. I don't know about you, but I've ridden horses, and I've seen some horses get real feisty. And about the only thing that will help control that big beast is a bit in the horse's mouth. I've been on huge Clydesdales. Anybody ever ridden a Clydesdale? Okay, that's a massive horse. You need a rope ladder to get on that thing. And I've been on stallions. And, you know, there's horse. And actually, the stallions can be more skittish than a Clydesdale. And it weren't for that bit, a person could get hurt or injured. I was on a horse ride with a number of men, and one fella did. He lost control of the stallion, and it ran probably 300 yards from the back of the line to the front, and the horse had lost its wits about it. And it rammed right into the side of the front horse, broke its neck, and died right there. Terrible thing. Beautiful horse, worth thousands and thousands of dollars. It was an Arabian stallion. The man who ran that horse, it wasn't his horse. He was like I was. We were riding borrowed horses. Oh, boy, there was a lot of grief. But if it weren't for the bit, some of those men, their horses were all skittish after that. If you've ever been around livestock, they all get skittish after an incident like that. And it was a tense ride back after that point. But if it weren't for the bits in those horses' mouths, some people could have been seriously injured by a horse running wild. So James gives us some insight there. We're going to be looking at several passages tonight in the book of Proverbs. So get ready. Talk about a wild horse ride. We're going to be flying through the scripture. So keep your finger in the book of James and your finger in the book of Proverbs. We are going to be going through a lot of scriptures tonight. This quote, medical doctors, they measure our physical health often by how our tongue looks. Put a tongue depressor in, say, ah. But the great physician, he measures our spiritual health by how the tongue acts. Our physician by how the tongue looks, but our great physician by how the tongue acts. Number one, the tongue is a very powerful tool, a very powerful tool. Take with me and look at Proverbs 18, please. Remember, keep your finger in James. We're flying left and right. Some of the scriptures will be on the screen. In fact, a lot of the scriptures will be on the screen. And so you may want to be of that person who is like, I've got to turn and see it for myself. And so you can turn there with us even as it appears on screen. Look what it says. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The tongue is a powerful tool. It can do a great deal of damage, as we read already in James chapter 3, verses, Pastor Rick read through verse 6, but verses 5 through 8, look there, it says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Verse 7, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So the bad use of the tongue has been the cause of many things. It has provoked people to murder. Remember the duels in early American history? Because guys got into it verbally and they said, that's it. We're going to go have a duel. And some guys died because of the power of the tongue provoked a duel or something, or even just flat out murder. The tongue has also been instrumental in divorce, child abuse, verbal abuse, spousal abuse, fights between people of all sorts, wars, and even splits in local churches. Someone said that the most untamable thing in the world has its den just behind the teeth. Ouch. Number two, choose your words carefully. Choose your words carefully. Why? Because knowledgeable people spare their words. Back to Proverbs. Back to Proverbs. Proverbs 17 and verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Back to James, or you can look on the screen, James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In an argument, in most arguments, in almost any argument, the best weapon is to hold your tongue. Some of the best preaching is done by someone who held their tongue. I like what Spurgeon, that 19th century great preacher, said. He said, if we would be sure not to speak amiss, it might as well be to speak as little as possible. For if all men's sins were divided into two bundles, half of them would be sins of the tongue. Oh. Next, a controlled tongue saves you from troubles. From troubles. Proverbs 21:23, it says, whoso keepeth his mouth, the word keep means to guard. Whoso keeps or guards his mouth and his tongue keeps or guards his soul from troubles. What gets us into trouble? Our mouth gets us into trouble. And it says that if you guard or keep your mouth, you keep your soul from troubles. That's your mind, will, and emotions. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. People sometimes are worried and anxious because they've spoken all day without any filter. No filter. Now, my wife works for an airline, and during the last period of the pandemic, she was kind of sequestered into a little office space with other people who had a health condition or risk regarding vaccine or the spread of the virus. So she was working with this digital realm of talking to people video over the phone. She was on the computer, they were on the phone, and they could call in and talk to an agent via video. But she was months and months in that little space cooped up with these other people. And she talks about how one of her coworkers, just from the moment she sat down, if she wasn't talking to a customer, she was immediately talking to everybody else nonstop. Nonstop. Now, I went on a long trip with a bunch of our boys from our church one year. We had a bunch of boys who did collegiate-style wrestling, Olympic-style wrestling, and we took them out to the Mid-America athletic event in conjunction with Athletes for Christ out of Kansas City. We were there in Kansas City, but on the way there, we did a partial overnight trip. For 4.5 or 5 hours, the driver of the van, and I was riding shotgun, he talked nonstop. It's not just women, folk. They get too much blame. This guy talked for 4.5 or 5 hours straight. And I was exhausted by the time we arrived in Kansas City. Oh, so it says there in Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his soul in his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Question for you, when do we usually say the wrong thing? Yeah, exactly. We usually say the wrong thing when we're elevated, when we're angry, and the conversation escalates. Proverbs 10 verse 19 says, in the multitude of words, like this lady where my wife works, like this guy on the van trip, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. blah, 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 blah. But he that refraineth his big fat lips, his lips, is wise. He that refraineth his lips is wise. Anger makes your mouth, someone said this, anger makes your mouth work faster than your mind. Someone said a person who talks a lot will always say the wrong thing. Proverbs 15:2. Next, foolish people talk too much. Foolish people talk too much. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The mouth of fools pours out foolishness. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Very similar. And the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. Foolish people gossip and malign others. Foolish people gossip and malign others. Look what it says in Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Do you have someone, not who you can talk to about others, but who you can bear your soul to? Do you have someone like that who is of a faithful spirit? I know the Lord Jesus is of a faithful spirit to us tonight. So when we sing that hymn, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. We're talking to our Savior who is of a faithful spirit. Amen. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, he that goeth about as a talebearer. What is that? It's this old English word. Bearing tales, bearing gossip, talebearer, revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him. Doesn't say her. It says him. That flattereth with his lips. Then this verse in Leviticus says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. This could quote, conversation is an exercise of the mind, but gossiping is merely an exercise of the tongue. I like what Spurgeon said. He said, gossips are of both genders, and they give up the shameful trade of tale bearing. Don't be the devil's bellows. Remember how a bellows would fan a flame? And that's that device that you pump, a bellows. He says, don't be the devil's bellows any longer to blow up the fire of strife. Quit setting people by the ears. If you do not cut a bit off your tongues, at least season them with the salt of grace. Oh, someday I'm going to ask Spurgeon to repeat this. He says, praise God more and blame neighbors less. Any goose can cackle. Any fly can find out a sore place. Any empty barrel can give forth sound. Any briar can tear a man's flesh. The flies will not go down your throat if you keep your mouth shut. Oh, such great wit. And he says, and not evil speaking will come out either. He said this, think much, but say little. Be quick at work and slow at talk. And above all, ask the great Lord to set a watch over your lips. Whoa. Number three, wicked people speak perverse things. Wicked people speak perverse things. First of all, there's the immoral woman mentioned in Proverbs 5. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. She's a smooth talker. Proverbs 6:12 talks about a wicked man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth, a boastful and arrogant mouth. Proverbs 10, verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10, verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Don't we see a lot of people talking violence in our society? And it's not just talk, it's talking through typing too, isn't it? It's communication. It's people talking violently over the internet as well. But Proverbs 10, verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. Proverbs 14 and verse 3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Proverbs 15, verse 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Proverbs 19, verse 28, an ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. All of those perverse things. Next, God hates lying, done with our mouth. God hates lying. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Many of you know these already. Hopefully you're still in Proverbs. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Proverbs 12, verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. A lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 17, 4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. See someone who's always talking naughty? Who's listening? Those who also like lies and gossip. That's who's listening. Next, number 5, beware of flattery. Beware of flattery. Again, the immoral woman, Proverbs 6:24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So men at the workplace, you be careful of being undermined by a female associate who speaks flattering things to you. Be on guard. Guard your heart. Protect. Keep your heart with all diligence, it says in Proverbs. For out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 5, verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Proverbs 22, 14. The mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Wow. Number 6, a man's speech and his heart are closely connected. Speech, heart, closely connected. Proverbs 10, verse 20, look what it says. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Proverbs 16, 1, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 16, 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. You want to see someone increase in wisdom and in learning? Deposit God's truth in their heart and let that trickle up to their mouth. Proverbs 18, verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Notice the connection. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, look what the Lord Jesus said. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 15, 11, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the man, this defileth a man. Number 7, let your speech be pure. Let your speech be pure. Earlier we noted how that the wicked have perverse speech, but here number 7, the righteous have pure speech. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Boy, you know, I think often about some of the country sayings that I learned from my grandparents. And I think my grandmother used to say often that when it comes to your speech, you win more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. You draw more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. And so when a person has sweet things coming from their mouth, people want to be around that person. They don't want to be around the person who has stinging criticism, the rod of pride coming out of their mouth. Open their mouth, zap, you're going to get whacked. But a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 17, verse 20, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Proverbs 4, 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Next, genuine Christians bridle their tongues. Genuine Christians bridle their tongues. Go back to the book of James again, but this time look at James chapter 1. It's also on the screen. If any man among you seem to be what? Religious. And bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. James chapter 3 again. Therewith, bless we God and curse we men. And which are made after the similitude of men. And then verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. These things ought not so to be. Boy, but that's the reality, that out of our mouth comes blessing and cursing. Have you ever seen where people turn fickle on an individual? They're their hero one week and they're their zero the next week. It went from hero to zero. And out of the same mouth of those people proceed blessing and cursing. And James is very confrontational and he says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Proverbs 11 says, an hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. I like this quote, the human tongue is only a few inches from the brain. But when you listen to some people talk, it seems like they're miles apart. Number 8, be an encourager. Be an encourager. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Are you healthy and delivering healthy things to the people you speak to? And then over in the book of Ecclesiastes 10 verse 12, this curious verse, it says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow himself up. Number 9, learn to give a soft answer, a soft answer. What does it say in Proverbs 25? By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. I have seen where people get in elevated discussions, and neither side will back down. And they go away angry at each other. And then I've seen these confrontations where this individual says just meekly and softly a few words. And boom, the other person is broken and brought to repentance. Why? Because they had a soft tongue. They weren't on their soapbox railing at another individual. Next, Proverbs 8, learn to hate wrong speech. Learn to hate wrong speech. Proverbs 8, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth, the arrogant mouth, do I hate. Now let's, for a few minutes that we have left, consequences of wrong speech. Consequences of wrong speech. Proverbs 10, verse 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Someone said this, be sure your brain is engaged before putting your mouth in gear. Someone else said, everybody agrees that a loose tongue can lead to a few loose teeth. Proverbs 10:31 says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. I like this quote, he who has a sharp tongue soon cuts his own throat. Proverbs 18, verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction. His mouth. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his own soul or of his soul. Proverbs 18, a fool's lips enter into contention. Always looking for a fight to jump into. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes, calls for violence. But then there's the benefit next of right speech, right speech. Proverbs chapter 12 says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Oh, the fruit of your own mouth. Proverbs 13, verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Let's make some suggestions now. as we try to wrap it up. Let's make some suggestions. First of all, consider Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2. Think before you speak. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be what? Be few. Proverbs 17, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Charles Spurgeon wrote again, he said, silence seldom makes mischief. Silence seldom makes mischief, but talking is a plague to the parish or a plague to the church. He also said, silence is wisdom. By this rule, wise men and wise women are scarce. Still waters are the deepest, but the shallowest brooks brawl the most. This shows how plentiful, he says, fools must be. An open mouth shows an empty head. He said, if the chest had gold or silver in it, a treasure chest, it would not always stand wide open. Talking comes by nature, but it needs a good deal of training to learn to be quiet. That's a good quote. So number one, think before you speak. Number two, get your facts straight. Fools can't ever seem to get the facts straight. Proverbs 26:7, the legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. Number three, say only things which build up. Say only things which build up. Ephesians 4:29, the Apostle Paul wrote, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Number four, don't gossip. Don't gossip. How do you deal with a person who's gossiping to you? Who's gossiping, maligning, backbiting behind the scenes? Here's what you do. Proverbs 25, verse 23. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Take no pleasure. Show your displeasure. And you may even want to go a step further and say, stop. I can't bear to hear this. I want to be able to think good of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want to hear it. It's driven away by an angry countenance, showing your displeasure when someone wants to gossip. Number five, don't talk dirty. Colossians 3, verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Number six, learn that there's a time to speak and a time not to speak. Proverbs 26, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. And then it seems like it contradicts. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. There's a time to answer a fool and a time not to answer a fool. This quote here, the Christian should learn two things about his tongue, how to hold it and how to use it. And then this closing thought, Psalm 141, set a watch, O Lord. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. That should be the prayer of every one of us. Amen? Myself included. James included. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. How many of you would say, oh boy, thank you. The word of God has washed through me and over me tonight. And that's what I needed. Pray for me that I will comply with God's word on these matters. Yes, 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 yes. Amen, amen, amen. Lord, we commit not just our bodies and our minds, but Lord, we need to commit our tongues to edifying wholesome speech, to pledge love and fidelity to one another in this body. And Lord, I ask that you would do a mighty work of causing us to walk humbly, to be slow to speak, swift to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.